thinking while we were singing that song about knowing the love of God. I was thinking about how that there are religious organizations in the world today that all that they know about God is what's in here. What they read about Him, that's all that they know about Him. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. I mean, I love the Word of God, and I'm thankful for the instructions that He left us. But you know, the God that I know, you can't contain Him in this. You can't contain Him in this book. He lives in my heart, and He's real. I've talked with Him this morning, and my God is real, and He's a lot bigger than His Word, and I'm thankful to know Him, to actually have a relationship with the Lord. I would hate to die and leave the world and stand before God in His righteous judgment and have Him question me and say, well, I read about you in a book. No, I've got more than that. I'm thankful for the experience of salvation that I have with the Lord. And if you're here today and you're lost, it's my prayer that you will come to know the Lord, that you will come to know Him personally in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. My scripture reading this morning should be real familiar to those who were at Sunday school today, because Brother Jackson read from Philippians chapter 3, and that's where I want to read today. So if you want to read along with me, turn to Philippians chapter 3, and I want to begin reading with the first verse and read through verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stop my reading there with those verses, having read through verse 14. Title my message today will be Press On, or Pressing On. And I want to spend just a moment here in the last three verses that I read, about the last five verses. In verse 10, Paul expresses his desire to know Christ. Now, you know, we realize that when the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the Philippians, he was already saved and had been saved for a number of years. And so, you know, what he was saying here was not expressing a desire to come to know him in salvation. He was talking about something different here, and I believe that's explained in the next statement that he makes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What was Paul talking about there, attaining unto the resurrection of the dead? We know that the resurrection had not yet come, and it's still not yet come. We still await that great resurrection day. But he said, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And now, you know, you may see, it's possible that you may see these verses differently than I do, but I'll tell you what I believe the Apostle Paul was expressing there. I believe he was saying that he realized that he did not yet have the perfect body that he was going to have one day in the resurrection. He realized that he had not yet attained unto that type of perfection. You know, for those of us that are saved, God has begun a work in us. He has given us of His Spirit. He has given us the earnest of His Spirit until the time of the purchased possession. And we have not yet been made as complete as we're going to be made one day in the resurrection. When God resurrects, you know, when these corruptible bodies have been laid aside and we're resurrected with a new body, and that new body that's incorruptible and that's not defiled like this one is united with that righteous soul, then we're going to be in a state of much greater perfection than what we are now. And Paul was saying here that, you know, he realized that he had not attained unto that yet. But I believe what he was saying when he talked about how that, you know, not knowing that I have not yet attained, but I follow after, I believe in all this that what Paul was saying was that even though he had not yet experienced the resurrection of the body and had not yet been perfected in that way, he wanted to live his life as though he had been already. He wanted to strive to live that close to the Lord as though it had already happened, even though he realized that it had not yet happened. And I believe that in this thought of him pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and when we think about pressing on in that way, you know, it seems to me that the Scriptures teach us, and this is what I want to focus on here for a while today. You know, this is the first day of 2012. We, you know, the Apostle Paul here in this, you know, what you see in your own life undoubtedly will not be exactly the same as what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. He talked about things that, you know, I believe there were things from his writings, there were things that even though he was forgiven and even though he had been saved, there were things that continued to haunt him throughout his ministry. And one of those things was that he had persecuted the church in days past. And, you know, Paul at times mentions that, how that he had been a persecutor of the people of God. And there are things in this that he said, I just put those things behind and I press forward. I look to what's in front of me and I reach for that. And he set very high goals for himself. And, you know, I believe that as we strive to serve the Lord, we need to set very high goals because we are judged by the highest of standards. And so our goals need to, you know, to be that as well. And so it seems that, you know, Paul was not, he was not satisfied, you know, with what he had reached to this point. And we know that he was a very humble servant of God. He was a great preacher. He was a great man of God. But yet, he was not satisfied. He wanted to do more. And so it seems that the scriptures, and I'll share some others with you, but there seems to be a teaching throughout the scriptures that as the people of God, as individuals in our individual Christian life, and also collectively as the church, that we are never to reach the point where we are satisfied with ourselves spiritually. We are always to strive to do better. And I believe that Paul was expressing that here, that he wanted to take those things that, you know, he realized from the past and he wanted to leave them there. You know, we cannot relive 2011. It's over. That's a year of our life that has passed, and the things that you and I did both privately and publicly, both individually and collectively, the things that we did in the year 2011, we cannot take them up again. Those days are now history, and they're days that have passed that we are not going to live again. And so we can, I believe, we can learn from things that happen. We can look, perhaps, if we assess our past year, we may be able to look at things and we might be able to see ways. In fact, I'm confident that all of us, if we really do look, we will see ways in which we failed in our Christian walk. We'll see ways in which we failed the Lord, but, you know, we can't go back and change them, but we certainly can as we press forward. We can do better as we press toward the mark, and we can make adjustments by the help of God, and we can make improvements by the help of the Lord, and we ought to desire that. I mean, that ought to be a great desire in our hearts, that we would always be pressing forward, that we would always be reaching towards something. We ought to, you know, if God continues to extend and to allow time, if we see the end of 2012, we ought to be closer to the Lord at the end of 2012 than what we were at the end of 2011. We ought to be an improved servant of the Lord by the end of 2012, more than we were by the end of this year. And so we cannot afford to become complacent, and we cannot afford to just become content and say that I'm doing enough already, because we can always improve. And I know, I think something that you notice in people is that now not everybody, I mean, we know that it's not true for everybody, but I believe that people in general have a desire to excel. I believe people in general have a desire to do better. If you have gone to school or something and become an auto mechanic or something of that nature, the trade in which you have chosen, people naturally have a desire to become better and better and better at their job as they continue on. I know I worked with mechanics for a number of years, and they were constantly sending these men to school so that they could learn more about the new computer systems in the cars and all these things, and they could learn better and better all the time how to diagnose the problems and fix the problems. And so we strive to make improvements, in our secular lives, and certainly we ought to strive for a higher plane and greater improvements in our spiritual lives. We ought to desire to do better, and a desire to be closer to the Lord. And I believe Paul expressed that here in his writing to the Philippians. I leave those things behind, those things that, I had been guilty of in the past. Those things, even when I persecuted the church, Paul said that he did that in unbelief when he was guilty of those things. But he said those things, his standing with the Pharisees, he had a great standing among those religious Jews. Paul expressed that he was not only a Pharisee, but he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said when it came, zeal, I had it, and I excelled above my, fellow countrymen in that religion. And he said, but when he experienced what he did there on the road to Damascus, you see, folks, listen, there's a lot of people in the world today that still don't want to embrace this fact, it seems, but people can be very, very, very religious and not know the Lord. Not know the Lord. And there's a lot of them that in the world today that are like that. There's a lot of people in the world today that live their religion and the letter of the law in their religion. They live it to the point where you would have a hard time blaming them, with very many things in their everyday life. But the problem is that they are in the same set of circumstances that Saul was in at that time. He did all these things, and he excelled in all these things, but he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, any religion without being vital religion is wasted religion. I mean, it just, it's not going to get you anywhere. And so when he realized that at this point, he did realize that he had come to know the Lord at the time of his writing. And he said, even that standing that I had with the Pharisees, that excellence that I had among my own religion, he said, I counted all that as dung. Now, for lack of a better word, you may know that as manure. Paul said, that's what I counted as. I counted as dung for Christ. And he just, laid all that aside and forgot about all that, that he may win the things of Christ. And so he said, leaving these things behind, I press toward the mark. And that's what we need to do with things that, from the past year, and we may all have some of them, things that where we did fail, but we need to leave those there, and we need to realize that with the Lord's help that we can leave them behind, and we can set high goals, spiritual goals, and we can press forward, and we can press toward the mark. We can press to reaching those things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, there's a verse there at the end of that chapter that I've always loved this verse. Paul had written to the Corinthians and given them this beautiful discourse on the resurrection. He had talked to them how that the body that was sown was not going to be the body that was raised. The body that was sown would be sown in corruption. It would be raised in incorruption. The body sown would be sown in mortality. It would be raised in immortality. And gave them this beautiful writing on how that the resurrection of the body would be. And then at the end of that 15th chapter, after that beautiful discourse, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Now, if you abound in the work of the Lord, it doesn't leave you the possibility of becoming complacent or content. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To abound. The Greek word from which that was taken, it has a long, long list of meanings. But it does mean to abound means to increase in both quantity and quality, and to excel or to be better. And so the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he wasn't telling them, you know, if you're doing anything at all for the Lord, that's enough. No, he said, you need to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You need to always be excelling. You need to always be improving. You need to always be getting better in the work of the Lord. And that's what we, as God's people, need to strive for, to abound in the work of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Paul again writing said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now let me ask you something today. Are you thankful to the Lord for His blessings? You know, I believe there are a lot of people here today that truly are thankful to the Lord for His blessings. I believe that as your pastor, that I've experienced that in your life and that I've heard that in your testimonies. And I believe that you truly are thankful for the Lord's blessings. But can we increase in thankfulness? Can we abound in thanksgiving? Are you the most thankful for the goodness of God on your life that you can possibly become? The Apostle Paul evidently didn't think that was true with the Colossians, because he wrote to them and told them that they were to abound with thanksgiving. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he said that ye might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, I think here's something that we do, you know, all the time with one another. We readily confess and we readily admit our shortcomings. And we, you know, we ask prayers of each other. You know, pray for me that I may do better. And we confess our infirmities, and we confess our shortcomings. But the question is, do we make the improvements? Do we put forth the effort that we need to? You know, I mean, it's one thing to say, I want to be a better servant of Christ. It's another thing to do what has to be done in order to accomplish that, isn't it? Yes, those are two different things. Let's look at these verses in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the Apostle Peter said, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Now, you know, I'm going to tell you what I believe if we look at this properly. The Apostle Peter wasn't just saying that this is a one-time addition. He wasn't just saying that one time we add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, and to our knowledge temperance, and so on and so forth. We add this once and then we're done. No, he was talking about that we continually add these things. We add these things. You know, if you got faith, that's wonderful. Seek for more faith. Add to these things. And the reason I say that is because he goes on and he says, "For if these things be in you and abound." What does that mean? If these things be in you and they increase. They increase. "They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Increasing faith. The Bible talks to us about that. Increasing faith. Increasing knowledge. Increasing in love. Increasing in kindness. You may say, "Preacher, I have faith in God. And I say unto you, that's a wonderful thing. Have more of it. Abound in it." You may say, "Preacher, I have studied and I have gained knowledge of God's word. And I say unto you, that's wonderful. Seek for more of it." Seek to abound in it. You may say, "Preacher, I am showing love to God and to my fellow man." Well, I say unto you, that's wonderful. Do it more. Do it more. Do it more in the year 2012 than you did in the year 2011. I hope that we accomplished that more through 2011 than we did through 2010. Grow in these things. You may say, "Well, I am being kind." Well, that's wonderful. Be more kind. Is there anything, ask yourself the question, is there anything that I'm doing in my service to God that I cannot do better? Is there anything? Is there kindness that I'm showing? Is there love? Is there faith? Is there commitment? Anything that has to do with my service to God that I cannot improve upon? I don't believe we've reached perfection, do you? Are you praying? That's wonderful. Pray more. Pray more. Pray more often. Ask God to help you to pray more effectually. The Bible teaches me that we are to pray without ceasing, to never reach conclusion in it, to always continue to pray. Are you attending church? You know, you may say, "Pastor, I attend church. You know, I'm there practically every Sunday morning." I say, that's wonderful. Come back in the evening. Come back for the midweek prayer service. Come on Tuesday night and hear the good winter Bible study lessons. That's wonderful. Don't misunderstand me if you're coming to church on Sunday morning. That's wonderful. I'm glad that you are, but we can abound. If you look in the 10th chapter of Hebrews in verse 25, it doesn't only tell us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that as we see the day approaching, we are to do these things more and more. Listen, you don't need less church in 2012 than what you had in the previous year. We don't need less of it. We don't need to go backwards in anything. We need to be a better church for the Lord at the end of 2012. If God grants that time, we need to be, Fairview Memorial needs to be a more faithful church, a more loving church. Even though those things already exist, we need to be better at those things at the end of 2012 than we were at the end of 2011. In our individual lives, we need to be better servants of the Lord at the end of this year than we were at the end of the previous year. And if we're not, then we are not abounding in the Lord. We're missing the mark. We're not pressing towards the mark if we don't make the improvements. Preachers, are you preaching? That's wonderful. Preach more. Deacons, are you deacon? That's great. Deek more. We can do more for the Lord. We can be a people that abound. Singers, are you singing? That's great. Sing more. Musicians, are you playing for the Lord? That's great. Play more. You can say, you know, well, you can say whatever you want. You can say, Pastor, you know, my card's already full. I don't have any more time. I guarantee you there's going to be things that come up throughout this next year that somehow, magically, you're going to find the time to do them. I mean, we say we don't have time for that, but we sure find time for something else. A lot of times it doesn't have anything at all to do with the Lord. And so, you know, you don't find time to pray, you make it. You make it. You make the time to pray. Are you seeking the Lord to be saved? Some of you are. If you're not, you need to make your start. If you are, seek Him more diligently. Seek Him even harder until that you come to know Him. We need, in the work of the Lord and as the people of God, we need constant improvement. We need continual improvement. Until that day that the Lord comes and says, your labors are finished. It's time for you to come home. You're done. You're finished. I'll tell you what, if you saw the things that I see, and perhaps many of you do, if you're young and you're healthy, and you've got health reasonable enough to allow you to work for the Lord, to allow you to come to the house of God and worship, you better be thankful for that, and you better take advantage of that, because I can tell you about people right now that are members of our church that they have got to the point physically that they just can't come. And you know what? You know what I hear when I go and visit them? They sit there in their homes and they just say, oh my goodness, I wish I could go to church. I miss going to church so much. I wish I could go. We have people that have reached, you know, the years where they're not able, some are not able to get out and drive their cars anymore at night. And you know what I hear from them? I miss that. I miss being able to go to those things. You better serve the Lord while He's giving you the strength. 2012 is opportunity for us, folks. It's opportunity for us individually and as a church. it's opportunity for us to do more for the Lord and to abound and increase in His work and increase in our dedication. Not just to say, oh, pray for me. You know, I'm not doing what I want to be doing. Pray for me. But to ask each other's prayers and to put forth the effort to make the changes, to press toward the mark. That's what we need. That's what we need to do. Those are my thoughts to you here today. That we press on. That we reach for that. You know, I'll tell you what, folks. The Lord has set high standards for us. I mean high standards. And we need to strive to attain them. Anybody have a word? Anything on your heart? Bless you, Brother Joey. Anybody else? Anything on your heart today?